The Common Good. I embarked on this essay feeling that there was a lack of common good in the world, or worse, a lack of consensus about what is the common good. My definition: agreed upon behavior which furthers the group, even at the expense of the individual actor. When you think about it, there is a very long list of behaviors that we as individual human beings consider being for the common good. We are hardwired to live in families and in groups. Parenting behaviors ensure the survival of the species, and caring for one another ensures the survival of the group. How are these behaviors transmitted between generations? By example, mostly. They are often not verbalized, unless we are teaching them explicitly. We observe and conclude. Life is precious. Family and community are important. Western civilization has accumulated a set of common good that our culture perpetuates and teaches. The definition of common good that I found online deals with the political good embodied in our Constitution and Declaration. The founding documents of our country refer to political ideals to which the founders pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. We developed schools to transmit our culture and a growing body of knowledge. We used music and songs and stories to reaffirm the common good. Sadly, many of the patriotic songs and stories are no longer commonly used in schools today. Today, mass communication can, if we would, reinforce a wider set of behaviors that we regard as community building, common good. I'm intrigued by the Liberty Mutual advertisement on TV showing people being considerate to others. Have you seen it? A man sees a doll falling from a stroller and runs to return it to the parent. Someone is watching, and later keeps a pedestrian from absently walking in front of a truck. Later, an observer of that act helps someone else struggling to carry many boxes, and so on. As far as I can tell, this series of good deeds does nothing to sell insurance except to create goodwill for the company by encouraging common courtesy being practiced in daily behavior. E.J. Dion, the noted columnist for the Washington Post and a Brookings Institute fellow, has a new book out titled Our Divided Political Hearts, which resonates with me. His thesis is that this country was founded not only on rugged individualism and individual freedom, but also dedicated to a common purpose. He postulates that the founding fathers believed in a balance between the individual good and the good of the whole, and that they meant for the federal government to participate in furthering this balance. European governments at the time, in contrast, were practicing laissez-faire. There was much suffering and oppression and large gaps between the rich and poor. He traces the history in our country of federal social programs even before the Civil War, of pensions for injured fishermen and seamen, and then pensions for Civil War veterans. Followed the federal expression of the common good, of caring for less fortunate, has been with us from earlier days than the Great Depression. And the debate over the balance of individual responsibility and common responsibility is not new. Today, it seems we are replaying the debate between laissez-faire and a federal responsibility for the social well-being of the community, which is our nation as a whole. It was decided long ago. Let us debate the balance between individual freedom and responsibility for the greater good, if we will, but let it not be an either-or debate. Balance. Difficult to achieve on any level, but greatly to be desired by philosophers of old and each of us. What is the common good held by this congregation? We express it each Sunday on our order of service. being a socially and spiritually welcoming congregation, being lifelong learners, embracing social justice, caring for the earth, fairness, and peace. We value diversity and aspire to act with compassion and respect. We take community to mean our congregation and the local community and extend it to include the world. Our principles give a pretty comprehensive list of specific behavior and belief that we consider to be in the common good. Can we see that other groups in the world hold some of the very same definitions of the common good? Certainly the major religions each have a version of the golden rule, even the ones that are not products of Western civilization. Do we so distrust the other that we cannot see the commonalities? Do we stay separated from them because they implement the common good, believing that it is required by a God that we don't believe in? Do we not include them in our definition of community as recipients of the common good? Why not as partners? Is our glass half empty? Are we individually too selfish or just too overwhelmed to conceive of belonging to and being responsible for the world as a whole? In the face of disasters, we rise to the occasion as a world community and send money or prayers or physically go with skills to alleviate hunger and homelessness and disease. I read in the Red Cross blood donor pamphlet that 3.7 million people donate blood. That is a lot of commonality. Still, we resist joining with others who do share our sense of common good, even knowing that there is a growing body of people whose life experiences and cultures have not fostered the concept. So, convinced that there is a common good, that it is widely held, and that history and literature have illustrated and recounted examples at all levels of social interaction, which are exemplary of human striving to live to further the common good, I turn to why we regular folk are still stuck mostly living for our own good rather than the common good. I recognize and give credit to all acts of good that we do so automatically that we're not consciously thinking about them being selfless acts. I say we because few of us have achieved balance between selfishness and selflessness, especially me. However, it has become more and more apparent that many of those who have achieved the most money and position, who have the public eye, are not setting a good example, have forgotten the common good, have begun to treat achievement of their personal goals as a competitive sport, while sharing the win not only has no place, but preventing anyone else from winning is now the goal. As their group gets smaller and smaller, they become more removed from a society that's, in general, still trying to balance the individual and the common good. Because of the few who are in the public eye, or are thrust into the public eye, they make lots of us wonder about how common the common good really is. I changed my vantage point. I wish I had a good suggestion of how to change their vantage point. The conservative social scientist, and Burkittsville resident, by the way, Charles Murray, author of Coming Apart, said, quote, "I really truly believe that the United States surprises people, and that if you underestimate the capacity of the United States to correct course, you do so at your peril." Close quote. I take that as hope that the common good will reassert itself in the public and private lives of our current cultural leaders and icons, where it is sadly missing. In the meantime, and bringing the focus back to whom I can change, myself, may I share with you some lessons that I learned at a photography workshop, of all places, that Pinocchio and I recently attended. The title of the workshop was Seeing Photographically, The intent was to learn how to make photographs which communicate memorably, with more punch and message. Here are some of the points we learned to improve our photographic seeing, which I think can be applied to sharpen our living. Lesson one, change the vantage point. When I was discouraged, thinking that my common good was not very common, I was only thinking about what was reported of the politicians in Washington and on the sports and entertainment pages. That reference group was too small to arrive at my early conclusion. Once I started with my group, UUCF, I recalled lots of evidence of selflessness. Cautiously, I broadened my perspective to other friends, to other religions, to cultural history. It may be true that you find what you look for, but changing your vantage point helps you to see in a different way. Experiencing life from different vantage points can change your life as well. Travel to a different country or culture. Help out at the community shelter in Frederick. Different vantage points tend to increase your sense of community. Lesson two. We see objects, cameras see light. Bringing something into the light that needs to be illuminated, or seeing something in an even light, has life lessons as well as photographic application. We are a community of lifelong learners. Purposeful reading, research, and debate can shed light on a lot of subjects and their context, illuminating need and/or opportunities for service. As an aside, these conversations and educational reading can be found going on at UUCF currently, and always have. Vary the speed of image capture. Photographs only capture light and time. The image of a speeding subject can be stopped still or blurred to depict speed. We often get discouraged because our contribution to the common good is not immediately apparent. One can convey the nightly movement of stars by setting a camera to take a series of moments during the night. Consider the pace of a growing child or a tree, yet we continue to plant trees and model good behavior for children over and over. Lesson four, simplify. Keep reducing the complexity of your subject until you cannot reduce it any further, or that the effect is in danger of being unrecognizable. Concentrate on what you can do, rather than the overwhelming distraction of the whole. Sometimes knowledge of the whole can freeze your action. Practice, practice, practice. Each of these lessons can be tried on here at UUCF. This is the value of our congregation, a variety of vantage points, different lights on the subject, patience, help in doing what we can, hope when discouraged. It gives me new meaning to the phrase, the practice of religion. I'm reminded of a story which became part of our UU culture back in the days we met at Mater House. It is the story of geese. Geese fly in a V-shaped formation. The leader breaks the wind resistance and allows the followers to draft in its wake. When it gets tired, it rotates back and another goose takes the lead. If a goose is injured or has to drop out of the formation, two others accompany it to the ground and stay with the fallen one so a V formation can be formed for returned flight. All the while they are flying, the flock keeps in touch with each other by honking. Consider the lessons for community. Take turns leading, care for the fallen, and honk encouragement from behind. May it be so here.